This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to the continuation of our explanation of Kitabu Furu' al-Fiqh walhamdulillah, authored by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam, Yusuf ibn Abd al-Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, our current discussion with regards to business transactions, insha'Allah. And insha'Allah, in this majlis, we will conclude all matters pertaining to mu'amalat al-maliyya, business transactions. In our previous majlis, we discussed the mutasarrif, the individuals who undertake these various transactions. You could be a wakil, you could be the owner of the item, you could be appointed, you could be a partner. We discussed some of the partnership arrangements. We also discuss matters pertaining to loan transactions. We discuss the dhaman transaction, the kafala, and the hawala transactions, transfer of debt. Walhamdulillah. We now move on bi'ithnillahi ta'ala to the next matter, and that is al-hadi ashar, the 11th matter to be discussed. Akhdul amwal bighayri iwadin aqsam. That wealth which is taken without any exchange. So there's no exchange which occurs. And these can be divided into various categories. Remember also, I could take possession of an item with haq and without haq. So this individual, he went and robbed the bank. He went and stole a car. Technically, he's now in possession, haram possession, no doubt. And has he taken this with any haq? No, without any haq. This is haram. So we will discuss, insha'Allah, that there's some types of possession which occur with haq and others without any haq. The first one, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, is al-'ariyah. Al-'ariyah, the lending type of transaction. Ariyah, I lent you a book. I lent you my hammer. I lent you my phone. I lent you my tablet, insha'Allah. So here it is allowed to loan or to lend an item. Anything that can be benefited from, halal benefit. While the article itself still remains. I cannot lend you an apple which you ate. No, I can lend you a pot. You use it and then you will return it. The item is returned after the lending period ends. If it is damaged, whether partly or completely, the person must compensate the owner. And so the author states, في كل عين ينتفع بها مع بقائها, that you benefit from this item and the item still remains. ويردها, and you return it after you have used it, insha'Allah. Also the ulama state that the ariyah, it is an aqd which is jaiz. It is a permissible type of transaction. What does that mean? It means that even though I've lent you my book for 2 months, I can ask for it back after 3 days. I can. Because it is a permissible transaction. I'm not bound by the agreement of the 2 months. Obviously, it's better, no doubt, to give the person the 2 months. But if I need my book, I can ask for it after 3 days. Similar to a qard, a loan, as we had discussed. I've lent you $10,000 and I said to you, pay me in December. Pay me in December. But subhanAllah, after 3 days, I needed that money. Can I ask you for the money? Yes, I can ask you for the money. And you will have to pay up. You will have to pay up. Jayid, why? Because it is an aqd which is jaiz and not an aqd which is lazim. Not a contract which is binding, but a contract which is permissible and can be ended by either party. Whereas in an aqd which is lazim binding, you require both parties to agree upon its dissolution. Jamil. وَيَضْمَنُ عَيْنَهَا, and the item which is borrowed, it is guaranteed. Compensation is guaranteed with regards to this matter. According to the madhab, al-ariya madmuna mutlaqan. Meaning, if I lent you my book, somebody stole the book, You kept it in the safe and somebody still broke in and stole the book. You lost the book. You forgot the book somewhere. Your kid wrote in the book. Irrelevant. I want my book back. Under all circumstances, whether you fell short, whether you didn't fall short, you are liable and you need to pay up and you need to compensate me for the book. Jameel, excellent. This is an important matter. Other madahib, other scholars might differ in this matter, but the Hanbalis state that the ariyah, it is madmuna, it is guaranteed under all circumstances. Compensation must be paid under all circumstances if anything has happened to it. Wa ajza'aha bitalaf. Even if portions of it have been destroyed, etc., then you need to compensate and you need to pay up for that. Whereas the wadi'a is a security safeguard deposit, inshallah. I say to you, brother, I have these gold bangles here, my wife's gold bangles, and we are traveling. Can I keep it in your home, in your safe? Then you say, no problem. This is what we call a wadi'a. I've not lent it to you to benefit from it. No. I've not loaned it to you. No. Rather, I want to keep it safe in your home. This is what we call a wadi'a. عند المستودع أمانة. And so the person who's keeping these gold bangles in his safe, it will be an amana with him. Amana. Only if he falls short, if he transgresses, only then will he need to compensate. He left the safe open and he traveled for 3 days and some thieves broke in and stole it. Now he is liable. Why? Because he's supposed to keep the safe locked. He took the bangles and he lent it to his kids and they lost it. He will have to compensate because he fell short. But this is different from the Ariya or the lent item. There you need to compensate under all circumstances. Whereas in the security matter, security deposit, looking after type of transaction, here only if you fell short or you transgressed, only then do you need to compensate. لا ضمان عليه فيها من غير تعد. And so there's no compensation required if they didn't transgress or they didn't fall short. So we covered the ariyah, the lending of an item type of transaction. We covered the wadi'a, where you give somebody something to look after it for you, for your benefit. In the ariyah, they are borrowing for their benefit. Whereas in the wadi'a, you are keeping it with them for your benefit. Keeping it safe there with them for your benefit. So the difference between the two. Number 3, al-ghasb. Ghasb is where your wealth has been usurped, where your wealth has been taken without any haq. Kullu man ghasaba malan muhtaraman mimman haruma alayhi qatluhu. Whoever usurps the wealth of another person, and this person here, it's haram to kill this person, and so the enemy is excluded. The enemy in the battlefield, etc., he's excluded. Everybody else, you're obviously not allowed to kill them, and so you're not allowed to take their wealth. أو كان منتقلا إلى من حرم عليه قتله وجب عليه رده. Or for example, that this wealth here, maybe for example, the individual, it might be permissible for you to have killed him. He is an enemy combatant and you are fighting. But he had some wealth of a person who you were not allowed to kill. Let's say, for example, the priest. The priest had given some of his wealth to the soldier to keep. And now you kill the soldier. Well, this wealth here now doesn't become the soldier's wealth and so you can take it. No, this wealth here, if proven, must be given back to the priest, because technically the priest, you're not allowed to interfere with him, you're not allowed to assault him, etc., etc. Jameel. And then the author states, وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ رَدُّهُ, that all types of ghasb, if wealth was usurped, it must be returned back to its original owner. وَضَمِنَهُ بِالتَّلَفِ. And if the thief, he stole this car, and while he had it, the car was destroyed. Well, he will need to compensate for that. He damaged the car. He will have to compensate for that. Because his hand over the car at that time was a haram hand over the car. وَكَذَلِكَ يَضْمَنُ أَجْزَاءَهُ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مُحْتَرَمًا. إذا لم يكن محرماً جيد. And similarly, the usurper must compensate. If the item was a prohibited item, then obviously no compensation is due. So this guy had stolen that which was haram. he stole something which was haram for you to have in the first place, then here there's no compensation, no compensation required. Other matters would apply, but not compensation for that haram item. Number four, al-mal al-multaqat. This is lost and found items. فَهُوَ إِمَّا آدَمِيًّا أَوْ مَالًا غَيْرَهُ. It's either a human being that was lost or other items. If it's a human being, فَهُوَ طِفْلُ الْمَنْبُوذ فَقَطْ. This is a kid who was found. وَيُنْفَقُ عَلَيْهِ مِمَّا وُجِدَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا فِي وَإِلَّا فَمِنْ بَيْتِ الْمَالِ. If wealth was found with this kid, then we will spend on him from that wealth. And if no wealth was found with this lost kid, then the state will have to see to him, insha'Allah. وَهُوَ حُرٌّ مُسْلِمٌ. He doesn't become a slave. No, he remains a free Muslim. مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي بَلَدْ كُفَّارٌ لَا مُسْلِمَ فِيهِ. As long as مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي بَلَدْ كُفَّارٌ, and he will be regarded as a Muslim, as long as he's not in a non-Muslim country where there's absolutely no Muslims. So if he's in non-Muslim country where there's absolutely no Muslims, then here the rule might be different. We will not regard him as a Muslim. But if he's in a Muslim country or in a country where there's Muslims and non-Muslims, then he will be regarded as a Muslim, insha'Allah. Then the author states, وَالْمَالْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. And wealth is divided into three categories. مَالًا يَتْبَعُهُ هِمَّةُ أَوْسَاطِ النَّاسِ. مَا لَا يَتْبَعُهُ هِمَّةُ أَوْسَاطِ النَّاسِ. Lost and found items. The first one being that which it's insignificant to the average person. Insignificant. A paper cup on the floor, $1 on the floor, Jayid, insignificant to most people. يَمْلِكُهُ بِالْتِقَاطِهِ وَيَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوْجَدَ رَبُّهُ وَلَا يُعَرَّفْ. That this item here, these two, three dollars you found on the floor, you can take it. You can pick it up, put it in your pocket, it's yours, insha'Allah. For as long as the owner doesn't come, you can take it, you can benefit from it, you can use it, insha'Allah. If the owner comes, then you give it to him, insha'Allah. Also, you don't need to make any announcements with regards to these items. So this is lost and found, items which are cheap, that the average person doesn't really bother about, insha'Allah. Number two, وَمَا يَمْتَنِعُ مِنْ صِغَارَ السِّبَاعِ يَحْرُمُ إِلْتِقَاطُهُ. These animals that... These animals that generally will not be affected by any of the wolves, etc. Won't really be hunted down. Animals that are not menaced by small predators. Example like the camel. Animals such as these, they are prohibited to be picked up and taken as lost and found. Why? The camel, it will find its food, it will find its way. There's no reason for you to pick it up, for you to take it and take it away, insha'Allah. And the third category, وسائر الأموال وسائر المال غيرهما. غيرهما, all other items besides these two that we just mentioned, what happens with them? So we're talking about items that are not like the camel, items that are not cheap, items that are decently expensive. يُلْتَقَطُ وَيُعَرَّفْ سَنَى. You can pick it up, but you will have to announce with regards to this item for 1 year. Put a notice in the masjid, put a notice in the newspaper. For 1 year, you will have to announce. وَيُمْلَكُ بَعْدَهَا. After 1 year, then it becomes your property, insha'Allah. Right? After 1 year, then you can take it. $100 you found. After 1 year of announcement and advertising, nobody came up. Then you can take it and you can benefit from it. But if eventually after 10 years, the owner does come up and he says, you know what, I lost the $100 here and I saw your advert and I want my money, and it can be proven that he is the owner, then what happens? Then you will have to give it back to him. What if I already used it up and I've already sold it, etc., etc.? You need to compensate him. You will need to compensate him, insha'Allah. Jameel. Al-Khamisu, Al-Hibatu, Wal-Atiyya. Gifts. يُمْلَكُ بِالْقَبْضِ. They become binding upon possession. So if I said to somebody, I will gift you $100. Does this become binding? No. I can change my mind. I have some other expenses came up. Sorry, brother, I can't give you that $100 that I said I'm going to give you as a gift. I can't. Try it. Or even if I say I gift you $100, I gift you $100. Clear and explicit. I gift you $100. But you haven't yet been given it in your hands. You haven't yet taken possession. I can change my mind and go back on that transaction if obviously I had a valid reason, inshallah. Jayid. If I didn't have a valid reason, I can still go back, but I would be sinful. Jayid. Yumlaku bil qabd, it becomes binding upon possession. Wa yahrumu ar-ruju'u fiha, and haram for a person to take back his gifts. As-sadisu al-ma'khudh min az-zakah, that which you collect as a zakah recipient, insha'Allah. As-sabi'u al-ma'khudh min mal al-ghanima, then we are dividing the war booty and you were given a share, masha'Allah. Rishwa, this is obviously haram, giving rishwa, a bribe, to the qadi, wal-hakim, wa hiya muharrama, the judge, etc. All of these here, they are haram, haram, and haram. And similarly, taking from the ghanima or taking from zakah, if you don't have a right to that, then it's haram upon you. At-tasi'u al-hadiyyah. Hadiyyah is a gift. And the main reason between a hadiyyah, behind a hadiyyah, is that you want to get close to the person. You want to get close to the person. You give a wife a hadiyyah, etc. Try it. Showing love and compassion and affection between individuals. وَهِيَ مُبَاحَةٌ لِغَيْرِ الْحَاكِمِ. And this is permissible for other than the ruler, other than the judge. Here what is meant by hakim means the judge. So the qadi, you don't go, you have a case at the court and now mashallah you are giving the qadi gifts. إذا لم يكن له من المهدي عادة. Except if this was something that you people had as a habit previously. So you are giving the qadi a present, and you always give the qadi a present. Whether you have a case, whether you don't have a court case, you always give him presents, then it's fine. But if now suddenly out of the blue, just because you have a case in court, you are giving the qadi gifts, no, this is not permissible. Why? Because these gifts could influence his decision in that court case. Allahu musta'an. Al-ashiru al-ardu. Ard al-mawat, this is uncultivated, unowned land. And so you go up there and you start to cultivate it, you put wall around it, you start to revive this land, then it becomes yours, insha'Allah. You started to irrigate it, and then this becomes yours, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. There's obviously conditions, this is especially in the old days, whereas today, by law of the siyasa shar'iyya in most countries, they do not allow this. جيد. الحادي عشر الركاز. الركاز وهو دفن الجاهلية. This is buried treasure from the days of جاهلية, before the Islamic era. The buried treasure belongs to its finder after submitting a fifth of it to the Muslim treasury. So one fifth you need to pay to the Bayt al-Mal. That's like, one might use the term, that's like the zakah of the rikaz, one-fifth, insha'Allah. Al-ma'adin, ma'adin, these are mines, mamlukatun liman wajadaha, try it, belongs to the person who locates them, finds them. Number 13, al-kunuz, kunuz, this is treasures, belongs to the person who finds them, as long as the treasures were not found on a land that is owned by somebody else. Mamlukatun liman wajadaha, owned by the person who finds them. Illam yakun fi ard mamluka, except if it's found on some other's owned land, somebody else's land, then it's not yours, it's found in their land, then it is theirs. Nonetheless, ala kulli hal, there is some ikhtilaf with regards to this mas'ala. Number 14, kullu ma fil bahri min samakin wa hayawanin wa lu'lu'in wa marjan. وغير ذلك مملوكة لمن أخذه. You went fishing, mashallah, you caught a fish, you got some pearls, some gems from the ocean. They belong to the person who got it. Walhamdulillah. Number 15, كل طيور البرية. All these birds, terrestrial birds. وَأَعْشَاشُهَا, and the nests of these birds, etc., what's in the nest, are permissible for the person who finds it, the person who gets it. كُلُّ حَيَوَانْ الْبَرْ الْوَحْشِ, all types of wild land animals, مُبَاحٌ لِمَنْ أَخَذَهُ مَأْكُولًا كَانْ أَوْ غَيْرَهُ.
these terrestrial animals, wild halal animals, whether they are legally edible or not, they belong to the person who catches them, who seizes them. And then what you can eat, what you can't eat, obviously is based upon what is halal and what is haram. But ownership, whoever gets it, he is the owner of it. Then number 17, مال من رغب عنه وتركه في مصر. For example, somebody takes out some items from his home and he leaves it outside near the public bin, etc., the public trash area. And so what does this mean? This means he doesn't want it, this old sofa. I can go and I can pick it up and take it, no problem. مباح لمن أخذه. It is permissible for the one who takes it. سواء كان في أرض مملوكة أو غير مملوكة. Whether it's on land owned by somebody or land not owned by anyone. But obviously you need permission to enter this person's land. Number 19. كل شجر بري لم يغرسه آدمي مباح لمن أخذه إذا كان في أرض غير مملوكة. That جميل, that pastures and trees, etc., that were not cultivated, fruits not cultivated by human input are permissible to take. This applies regardless of whether the plants were from an owned land or a barren land. Owned land or barren land. جيد. كل شجر بري لم يغرسه آدمي. Human being didn't plant it. مباح لمن أخذه. It is permissible for the one who takes it. إذا كان في أرض غير مملوكة. This is if it is found in land which is not owned by anyone. We missed out one. ثامن عشر. كل عشب. All types of herbages and pastures and grass. وكلئن لم يزرعه آدمي. Which was not planted by a human being. مباح لمن أخذه. It is permissible for the one who took it. سواء كان في أرض مملوكة أو غير مملوكة. Whether it's on land owned by somebody or land not owned by anyone. And obviously you need permission to get onto that land. But as for trees that were planted by, not planted by people, the next one, كل شجرين, trees planted not by human beings, trees which were not planted by human beings, مباح لمن أخذه, permissible for the one who takes it. إذا كان في أرض غير مملوكة, this is obviously if the land is not owned by anyone. But there's a tree in somebody's land, you go there and you say, well, you know what, brother, you didn't plant the tree, so I'm taking this tree. No. I own this land, and so I own the tree on the land, inshallah. Number 20, ماء كل نهر, water from the rivers, inshallah, and flowing springs is owned by the person who takes it. The one who takes it, meaning you took a bottle, you put the water in the bottle, now this water in the bottle is yours. But we're not saying that you come to this river and you say, well, this river is now mine. No. What you put into a bottle, what you take away, etc., that is yours, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Jameel. الثاني عشر. So that was all to do with number 11, inshallah. As for number 12, إخراج المال عن مالكها, عن مالكها. That wealth which leaves your possession. Let's see. إما بعوض. This could be in an exchange. وهو البيع والهبة بشرط عوض. This is exchanged either like in normal business transactions, or it could be where there's a gift with a condition. Walhiba bishart iwab. Or this could be a gift with the stipulation that one gets another gift in exchange. So I gift you something with the condition that you will gift me back something. Technically, even though we're calling this a gift, this is like a sale transaction. Other examples, Jayid, wa imma bighayri iwab. Or it could be that there was no exchange. So business transaction, this is with an exchange. Gift with the condition for another gift, this is also like a sale transaction. But there's many others where there's no exchange. Example, zakah. You pay your zakah, mashallah. Jizya min kulli kafirin aqama tahta aydina dhimmatan. This is taken from every disbeliever, Jayid, According to the madhab, only from the Ahl al-Kitab and the Majus. Only from the Ahl al-Kitab and the Majus, not all the kuffar. That's according to the madhab. أَقَامَ تَحْتَ أَيْدِينَا ذِمَّةً. That this person lives under our protection, lives within the Muslim state, etc. So he will pay the jizya. وَقْف وَهُوَ تَحْبِيسَ الْأَصْلِ وَتَسْبِيلَ الْمَنْفَعَ مِنْ كُلِّ جَائِزَ التَّصَرُّ فِي بِرْ بِلَفْظِ سَرِيحْ أَوْ كِنَايَة. A waqf, I make this masjid a waqf for the sake of Allah. I make this house a waqf for the sake of Allah, for the poor students from China, for the Quran memorizing students from India, etc. You can stipulate whatever stipulation you want, as long as it's permissible, inshallah. And so now this home, this house, this masjid, it cannot be sold. This is possession returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it must be for a noble reason, must be for a noble reason. And it's either explicitly you state this is a waqf, or implicitly your actions, etc. Somebody built a masjid and he didn't say that this masjid is a waqf, but the masjid's there and it's for everyone to perform salah in, etc. By his actions, this indicates that it is a waqf, insha'Allah. Number four, al-ushr. Min kulli kafirin ittajara ilayna. So the disbeliever coming to the Muslim lands, he will pay a tax of a tenth, pay a tax of one tenth to do business in the Muslim lands. Number five, wasiyya. This is a bequest. Somebody puts a bequest in their will that when I pass away, please give up to one third of my estate, give one third or less of my estate to this charity or this person or that person, etc. Remember the condition, it must not be more than one third and it must be to a non-heir. It must be to a non-heir. You cannot make a wasiyya to your heir. Tasihu min jaiz at-tasarruf wa hiya mushtamilatun ala wasiyya wa musa bihi wa musa lahu wa musa ilayhi. Jaiz, and they go through all of that. The wasiyya mustahabba, it is recommended, bi thuluth, up to one third, liman lahu warith, for the one who has heirs. Bi akthar liman la waritha lahu, and you can make a wasiyya of more than one third if you have absolutely no heirs. Wa musa bijayid, then wala tasihu bi akthar min athuluth illa bi ijazati alwaratha. And you cannot make a wasiyya for more than one third. I want to give a certain masjid half of my estate, not permissible, unless the heirs, after you pass away, they say, we are okay with this, we are fine with this. Because it's basically them like giving up their haq. And if they allow it, then it would be allowed. Musa bihi is the wealth, the estate that you are making a wasiyya with regards to. Musa lahu kul man yamlik. You are making, the Musa lahu is, example, this charity, or for example, this human being, this individual. Kul man yamlik. Jayid. Wal Musa ilayhi. Jayid Musa ilayhi, or is called the Musi, kul jaiz at tasarruf. Jayid. Let's just discuss that, the terms, insha'Allah. So we have the wasiyya, we are clear with regards to the wasiyya, walhamdulillah, Jayid. The Musi, Jayid, the Musi is the person who is making the wasiyya. The Musi is the person who is making the wasiyya, insha'Allah. The Musa ilayhi, this is the person who is in charge of ensuring that this wasiyya takes place and is done properly. The Musa ilayhi, this person is the executor, the person in charge. Jayid. As for the Musa bihi, this is the item, the wealth that is made a wasiyya. And the Musa lahu, the beneficiary. The beneficiary, the one who is benefiting, the one who is benefiting from this wasiyya. So example, if Brother Salman, he is making a wasiyya of $10,000 to a masjid. So the masjid is the Musa lahu, is the beneficiary, and he puts Brother Bilal in charge of ensuring this goes through. So he is the executor, and the Musa bihi is the $10,000. Walhamdulillah, Jamil. Al-itq, this is setting free the slave. Wa yusannu liman lahu kasbun bilafz sarih wa kinaya. And this is something which is recommended. Jayid, setting free your slaves. This is something which is recommended to free slaves that have the ability to sustain themselves. Yusan liman lahu kasbun. But if the slave is unable to fend for himself, etc., then rather he remains a slave and you look after him than setting him free and he doesn't have any ability to make his ends meet. This can be I set you free or kinaya, implicit statement. Wa yahsul biqawl wa milk rahimin mahram. Also, setting free the slave comes into action through direct and indirect statements from the master. It can also occur through speech and by owning blood relatives. If you bought your father and he's a slave, then automatically as soon as you purchased him, he became free. You bought your mother in the market and she was being sold as a slave and you purchased her, automatically upon purchase, she is set free. Jamil. وَمَنْ أَعْتَقَ شِرْكًا لَهُ مِنْ عَبْدٍ عَتُقَ كُلُّهُ إِنْ كَانَ مُؤْسِرًا وَمَا أَعْتَقَ إِنْ كَانَ مُؤْسِرًا. جيد. The author states, if a rich master decides to set free his share of a slave, so two individuals each owns half of the slave, who is shared by other co-masters, the master should attempt to free the slave entirely by buying the remaining shares of the slave from the other co-masters. However, if the master didn't have liquid, the slave will be partially free. So, for example, I own half of the slave and I set my half free. Technically, what I should do is I should pay the other slave master, I should pay him off for the other 50% if I have the funds. If I don't have the funds, technically we will say that this slave is now only half free until the future when he can be totally freed, insha'Allah. وَإِن بَاعَ السَّيِّدْ عَبْدَهُ لِنَفْسِهِ or rather before that, وَيَصِحُ حَالًا وَمُعَلَّقًا إِلَى وَقْتٍ. That setting free the slave, this can be done immediately, comes into effect instantly or a particular time, such and such in the future, you will be set free, then it will occur at that time. فَإِنْ عُلِّقَ
بِالْمَوْتِ
فَهُوَ تَدْبِيرٌ يُعْتَبَرُ مِنَ الثُّلُثِ. If the master says that you are freed upon my debt, then this will take place upon his debt, tadbir, and this will be counted from the one-third of the wasiyya, insha'Allah. وَيَصِحُ بَيْعُ الْمُدَبَّرِ فِي تَالِيهِ. The author states, the financial value of the freed slave accounts towards the third of a person's wealth from the wasiyya. So when I die, you will be set freed. We will look at the time of death. We know the value of the slave and it must not be more than one-third because it follows the rules of wasiyya. The sale of these slaves by the master is considered correct, even though they have been promised freedom from the debt of their masters. So for example, he made an arrangement, when I die, you will be set free. After 3 months, he decides to sell this slave. Would the sale be valid? Yes, it would be. It would be valid, insha'Allah.
وَإِنْ بَاعَ السَّيِّدَ عَبْدَهُ لِنَفْسِهِ بِمَالٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ فَهِيَ كِتَابَةٌ مُسْتَحَبَّةٌ لِمَنْ عُلِمَ فِيهِ خَيْرٌ وَيَعْتُقْ بِالْأَدَاءِ.
It is, if the slave decides to buy his freedom from the master with deferred payment. So, slave says, every month I will pay you $1,000. And we will reach up to 10,000 and then I will be free. And the master agrees, no problem. We say this is kitaba. And it's recommended for the master to agree with the slave in this type of transaction. So the slave will buy eventually his freedom. It is recommended for the master to agree to this procedure if it is known that this slave is a good slave and a good individual, insha'Allah. The slave becomes free once the payments have been made. However, if the slave is unable to make all the payments, then technically he will still be regarded as a slave. وَإِنْ وَلَدَتِ الْأَمَةُ مِنْ سَيِّدِهَا مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهِ خَلْقْ الْإِنسَانِ. Not خُلُقْ, but rather خَلْقْ الْإِنسَانِ. If, for example, the master, he had a relationship with the slave woman and she bore him a son, a daughter, then soon as he dies, she will be set free. We call her Walad. As soon as the master dies, she will automatically be set free, insha'Allah. And also the author states, that وَإِنْ وَلَدِتْ الْأَمَى مِنْ سَيِّدِهَا مَا يَتَبَيَّنْ فِيهِ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ صَارَتْ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ وَلَدْ يَعْتُقُ بِمَوْتِهِ وَلَا يَجُوزْ لَهُ بَيْعُهَا. If, for example, this slave woman, the master had intimacy with her and eventually she gave birth to a fetus and you could see the signs of the human being on the fetus. So after form had taken place, then technically she is regarded as walad. Even though the kid wasn't born alive, but she will follow the rules of walad, and as soon as the master passes away, she will be granted her freedom, walhamdulillah, because once she has delivered, even though it was not a living child, the fact that this woman has reached the point in her pregnancy where form has taken place, then the rules of nifas apply. And so because it is similar to her having delivered a kid, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, would that we end the chapters pertaining to business transactions. And as we had discussed, this is the shortest or the most summarized of Hanbali Mutun, MashaAllah. As long as the student gets a bird's eye view of the various chapters of fiqh, that is the aim and the objective behind this matan, walhamdulillah. Then you can advance to the other mutun, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And this matan, MashaAllah, gives you that bird's eye view of the various chapters of fiqh, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, remember, if your knowledge is above average, your ibadah, your akhlaq, your character, your behavior, your manners, your worship, your salah, your sunnah, salawat, they are also supposed to be above average. We ask Allah for tawfiq. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.